You can see from the bulletin that our gospel lesson this morning comes from two locations in the Gospel of Matthew, both in chapter 26. First verses 17 through 19, and then verses 26 through 30. Now, I would think that most of these words are familiar to most of us, at least at some level. But even though they're familiar, listen for something new, maybe, that's being spoken through these words into your life and into your heart on this particular day, at this particular place on your journey of faith. On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Friends, this is a word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, I got news. I got big news. This Thursday is Thanksgiving. Did you know that? Did you? Some of you knew that. Some of you knew that. Yes, it is. So the question is, what has happened in November? Where is it? What has happened to it? It's gone. Friends, it's gone. You just have to face that fact. So, in the spirit of Thanksgiving, I want to share with you some information I received from an article I read a number of years ago, and I've shared some of the results of this with you before in past Thanksgivings. But people, basically in North America, at Thanksgiving time, have turkey of some sort, in some way. That's usually not the debate, not always. What is the debate are the side dishes that you eat with the turkey. So this article did a survey, and they said, what are the number one dishes at different geographic regions in this country? So I'm going to see how well you know this. First of all, if you live in the South, we'll call this the South, all right? You live in the South, apart from turkey, what do you think is the number one side dish you eat? No, hold it. Don't say it. You know, let's move on to New England. We'll come back to the South. Any New Englanders here? Oh, yeah. Ushers, make note of that. All right. New England, the number one side dish for New Englanders on Thanksgiving is what? Just guess. Wrong. Lobster. Wrong. Anybody? Okay. You're not going to get it. Even those of you from New England don't get it. What? Nope. The number one reported side dish, according to this article, for New Englanders, Parker House Rolls. I mean, like, come on. That's not a side dish. That's an implement. That's a utensil. Okay. Anyway, I think maybe the survey must have said something like, it wouldn't be Thanksgiving without this item. I don't know. Anyway, let's move on. Midwest. Any Midwesterners here today? Oh, okay. Okay, how about this? Number one reported side dish in the Midwest is? Wrong. Green bean casserole. Anybody ever had green bean casserole? Not till you move to the South. Okay, okay. Anyway, green bean casserole, number one. Okay, let's move on to the South, where we are, this neighborhood. So Thursday, addition to turkey, what are we going to eat with our turkey? Yes, sir, Henry. Incorrect. Nope. No, okay, just read it. You're not going to get it. Because I don't know where they got this survey. The number one, if you remember, is bacon-infused Brussels sprouts. Come on, who did this? It was somebody in Canada that wrote this article. I think it was Bob Starks. But anyway, number one's bacon-infused Brussels sprouts. So anyway, have you planned your meal yet? Have you? You know what you're going to eat? You're going to eat something new. You're going to just eat the exact same food you do every single year. All right, hold that thought. When I think about Thanksgiving, it is a sacred time. I can just picture everything from my childhood. It's very vivid, and not much is vivid in my mind, so that's vivid. And I can see the place. I can see the room. I can see the place settings. I can see the people at the table. And it seemed like even though we have people like my grandparents would come from out of town, we always sat in the same seats. They'd never set the table before, and they'd come up, and they'd just take the exact same seat again. You know, and my parents would be at the end, grandparents, and then my sister to the right, brother across the table, my other sister across that way. It was just an interesting time. And in my mind, I go around that table, and I can see everything vividly. Can you do that? Can you see the Thanksgiving table of your childhood? I hope so. When we would gather around that table, food spread out before us, right before we would eat, we would do what? Blessing. We'd join hands around the table. And if it was at my grandparents' house, my grandfather would say the blessing. If it was at our house, my father would say the blessing. And it was something about the Thanksgiving blessing. I don't know what it was. But somehow, he would gather up the whole year up to that point. And just, it was amazing. It would change everything. All of a sudden, what would happen, that moment would turn into sacred time. And it wasn't the same. It was something going on, and you couldn't figure exactly what it was, but it was something different, and it was something amazing. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. All right. The Greek verb, eukasteo, we get the word Eucharist, eukaristeo, is used in the New Testament. The New Testament is written all in Greek, and that Greek word appears 8 times in the New Testament. It appears 2 times in the Gospel of Matthew, 2 times in the Gospel of Mark, 2 times in the Gospel of Luke, 2 times in the Gospel of John. Very spread out. And it's only used in relationship to the basics of life. Bread, wine, fish. It's the only time it's used to describe those things. It's used 2 places. The only miracle story of Jesus that occurs in all 4 Gospels, as I've said before, is the feeding of the multitude. The only one. You cannot tell the story of Jesus without telling that story. You remember these words. Then ordering the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and after giving thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. And then words that we read a moment ago. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you." This morning at the early service, or at the 2 early services, we celebrated the Eucharist, the Thanksgiving. And at the middle service is non-traditional, and the early service is more traditional, and we use a responsive reading, and this is used at some form of this is used at many churches. And we said, "The Lord be with you." And the people said, "And also with you. Lift up your hearts." We lift them up to the Lord. "Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It's right and good and joyful thing always, everywhere and always to give thanks to you, Almighty God, for you are the creator and sustainer of our lives." And then after we finish the prayer, you know, we rehearse. We retell, we remember, we reconnect the tradition to us. And we offer this prayer. "Loving and gracious God, in remembrance of these your grace-filled acts, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving." It should not surprise you that the name of this ancient prayer for the communion, for the Eucharist, is the Great Thanksgiving. It dates back to the 2nd century to St. Hippolytus. And that prayer is being said in some form across the world today. And it's said every week, every time the community gathers for the Eucharist. So for that means that for nearly 2,000 years, when we've gathered to celebrate our constitutive event of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we begin with thanksgiving. That's what it's all about, is giving thanks. And when you do that, that changes everything. You know, That reminds me, at the very heart, that's what we are. We're people of thanksgiving. You know, it's not what we do, it's who we are. It's in our hymns, it's in our theology. You know these words. Enter God's gates with thanksgiving and God's courts with praise. Give thanks to God. Now, for about 8 weeks or so this fall, we were talking about United Methodism and what it means to be part of the United Methodist tradition. And we talked about, at its very basic, is grace. The unmerited, undeserved love of God in our lives. Just because we're children of God. And it is in response to that grace that we live thankful lives. And this week, we're going to be thinking through that. What does that look like for us? How do you live a thankful life? Now, it's not about your abundance. That's not what Thanksgiving, that's not what generates thankfulness. No, no. It's offered for who you are. We are, therefore we give thanks. We exist, and therefore we give thanks. Across the years, I've come to believe this, and it gets a deeper belief as time goes by, is that when you gather around the table, when you share food, you share your lives, and something sacred happens. I can't explain it. I don't understand it, but I've seen it here over and over again. When we celebrate communion, a couple weeks ago at the barbecue, if you came to that, people just laughing and celebrating and sharing their lives. Or maybe it's a wedding rehearsal, or maybe it is following a memorial service, and we gather in the welcome center. Maybe it's donuts, as we heard during children's time. Maybe it's donuts at a work day. People start talking as they share. I don't know how to explain it, but it changes the world. E.P. Sanders, New Testament scholar, said that what got Jesus into trouble with the religious authorities of his day was not the fact that he reinterpreted the Torah or the law. And it wasn't the fact that he called tax collectors or sinners to him. No, it was the fact that he ate with folks like that, that he gathered them at his table. And that really ticked him off. Because when you gather people at table, you're one. All right. It begins with thanksgiving. It ends with thanksgiving. Everything is about thanksgiving for us, the body of Christ. Now, this week, when you gather on Thursday, first and foremost, thanksgiving is not going to be material in nature. It's not going to be about, sharing it, making an inventory of everything that you have. That is not thanksgiving, folks. That is confession. Okay? Thanksgiving is about celebrating that you exist and your brothers and sisters exist as well. So this coming Thursday, when you gather around that table, whether it's a small table for two or a large table, be mindful of your life. Be mindful of your life and the life that's been given to you. And think about the table of years gone by. Think of the faces that are no longer with you. Think of the generations that went before you, the generations that will come later and will be around that same table. And just stop. Just stop. And you don't have to, go through a whole litany of items about which you think God needs to be made aware. Don't need to do that. You just need to be. You need to break bread. Maybe you need to make some calls. Maybe you need to send some text messages. Maybe you need to go next door and invite someone over to sit at your table. If you do that, I guarantee that this Thursday will be Thanksgiving Day. So go. Go and enjoy your bacon-infused Brussels sprouts. And be thankful. Thanks be to God. Amen.